that you've done everything for us. We thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. And we just pray that as I deliver your word today, that the truths contained therein will benefit us all. And guide us in the days to come. As you establish this territory for your glory.
Amen.
As you establish intake.
Yes.
As a powerhouse amongst this nation.
Amen.
That the people in this neighbourhood will be mighty.
Yes.
For God.
Yes.
Devil, you take your hands off them. And we pray, Father, that you'll send your angels to break through in the heavenlies.
Yes.
That the warring angels will do battle.
Yes.
And that your kingdom will come in this place. We ask it in your name, Lord.
Amen.
The title of the message today is very simply, Put God First.
Amen.
Put God first. We all know what being first means.
Yeah.
We all want to be first.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be last. We're brought up as children. There is only one place to be, and that's first. And the poor little kid that always comes in last, we laugh at and we bully them. You could be either of those kids. You could have been the first or you could have been the last. But in God's eyes, you're first.
Amen.
God puts you first. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given up Jesus. How do I put God first, you might say? Well, let's start at the beginning of the day. If I'm going to put God first, what is the first thing I'm going to do? What is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? Do you say, "Good morning, Lord," as you take your quick trip to the bathroom? Or do you go to the bathroom, then make your coffee, then make your breakfast, then you go to work and you have your nice day at work? You come home, you have your dinner, you watch the TV, you go to bed, think, "Oh, I don't think I've read today. Oh, let's have a quick look. I'm sorry it's short tonight, Lord." That's if you get that far. "Ooh, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." I don't like that scripture. "Haven't you got a better one, Lord? What do you think?" Put God first.
Yeah.
As I said, when you get up in the morning, those of you that are married will probably speak to your partner if you've managed to get them awake. If you can stop them snoring for long enough. Or coax them into the kitchen to make you a cup of tea for a change. These days, a lot of people, dear's gone, and I was going to pinch your phone. One of the things that happens these days, a lot of people get up, and the first thing they do isn't go to the bathroom, it isn't look at the clock, it's pick up the mobile phones and look on Facebook, or WhatsApp, or whatever. Do you know what the greatest fear is today? The greatest fear today is that you lose your phone. If they've not got the phone, dear Lord, the world has come to an end. I can't access Facebook. I can't get on Instagram. Dear Lord, what on earth am I going to do? Well, you could get a life. The world doesn't revolve around Facebook. Facebook has become something it was never intended to be. How many of you have got friends that you don't know? Sometimes when you get up in the morning, well, not you personally, but some people, when they get up in the morning, the first thing that they need is a fag. The first thing they need is a cup of tea, cup of coffee. Where's the newspaper? Where's my phone? Oh Lord, my phone! I had it a minute ago. Am I making a point here? Whatever's got your attention is what you're all about. If you get up in the morning and your first thought's, I need a drink, be it alcoholic or tea or coffee, addicts get up needing a fix. What do you get up needing? Somebody says a cup of tea. Nothing wrong with a cup of tea. But while you're making that cup of tea, you can put God first. No, you don't need to make Him a cup of tea, but while you're making the thing, you can be talking to Him. When are we going to get off the idea that spending time with God means sitting down with a Bible and a pen and a piece of paper and spending a long time praying? And there's nothing wrong with that, and I commend it to you. You should be spending time with a pen and a book and a Bible and praying. But you can talk to God all day long. You don't have to wait until there's a break in your busy schedule, or your lazy schedule, if you want to sit in front of the telly all day long. You don't have to have a set time. We say, let's come into God's presence, but God's presence is here all the time. God's presence is in you. God's presence is all around you. He fills the earth. Is there anywhere that you go that is not on earth? And if you say, well, I'm going to the moon, well, I've got news for you. He's there too. He fills the heavens as well. He's everywhere. So we've got up. We've been to the bathroom. We've got us a cup of tea. You blokes might start shaving. You girls might start putting your makeup on. I hope it's not the other way around. I don't want you boys putting makeup on and you girls shaving. Maybe you picked once or twice, but let's keep things in perspective. We can pray to God, or we can listen to God. Remember a few weeks ago I'd been reading a book and I mentioned it, I think, how when we're praying, we need to give God time to listen, because prayer can become the person that knows nothing doing all the talking, while the one who knows everything doesn't get chance to speak. We need to give God chance to speak. He has something really important to say to you. He has a plan for each and every one of your lives, and for mine too. God has everything worked out. But do you know what that plan is? Well, after we've all got nice and tidy, we might then go out to the car, or catch the train, or catch the bus. We've had a nice breakfast. We might even have said grace. That counts as a prayer, doesn't it, saying grace? No, it doesn't. Because for most of you, and for myself included, for most of you, saying grace is the same few words that you say time after time after time. Do they really still have any meaning to you? Are you truly thankful? I know some of the best grace, as I say, is when I've cooked myself something really nice, which is a rarity because Helen doesn't cook if she can help it. I've cooked something really nice, and as I'm walking from the kitchen through into the lounge, smelling it and looking at it, thinking, oh Lord, thank you for this. This is going to be great. That's different to, thank you for this food, amen. Are we truly thankful? Or are they just words? Put God first. You've probably guessed what the emphasis is this afternoon. It's so easy to put yourself first. And we get into our routines, and we do our routines, and our routines usually exclude God. Psalm 68 and verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That was Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Daily. Do you feel as if you're daily loaded with benefits? When we think about benefits, we think about dole, don't we? That's not a benefit. A benefit would be a job. A benefit is somewhere nice to live, somewhere pleasant. Food on the table that's edible. Decent clothes. Benefits. The greatest benefit is salvation. And he loads us with benefits daily. That's not just when he thinks about it, because he thinks about you all the time. You're on his heart all the time. Okay, so now we've gone to work and it's getting towards lunchtime. Are we putting God first still? Right, that's it. I'm off to lunch. We go to lunch, we grab a sandwich, we do a bit of shopping, we rush around, or we sit in the corner with our chums chattering away about washing machines and babies and other boring stuff. I used to hate lunchtime at Jenkins. If we went out or went to the canteen, that were fine, but if you sat in the corner with the other women, all they could talk about were, well, my washing machine this, and my fridge freezer this, and my dryer, and my children, oh, get a life, don't need this. Come on, we're going out, we're for a walk. Put God first. Talk about God. And if you've got non-Christian friends, you're going to have to be creative in talking about God. Oh, my washing machine broke down. Do you know, it's funny, mine did as well a few months ago. And I prayed, I laid hands on it and said, in the name of Jesus, you will work. And it worked. Don't ask me how it happened, but I know that God has control and has power over all things. To start off with, they'll think you're a bit loopy. But as you tell them more and more, and you exhibit in your life that you truly believe, then they'll start asking you questions. And you will find that when trouble hits, when the husband leaves the wife, or the wife leaves the husband, or the kids are on drugs, or something fails, you will find that these colleagues come to you because deep down they know that it's the man and woman and child of God that's got the answers. You say, well, it's all right putting God first. If I'm talking to God, what about my partners and what about my family? Shouldn't I be talking to them? Yeah. Sometimes we use God as an excuse for not doing what we should be doing. You still communicate with your families, pray for them, encourage them in the things of God. whether they're Christian or non-Christian. They're never going to accept the Lord unless they see your light shining. Those of you that are not going to work, you might just be cleaning house, saying, well, I haven't got a very powerful job. All I ever do is clean house. I haven't got much to do. I haven't got much to offer. Really? You are the most powerful people this church has got. You don't have to involve yourself with the world. You can shove that vacuum cleaner around the house, praising and glorifying God, talking to him about the things that he wants to happen in the neighbourhood. Look at intake where you live, those of you that live here. Those that you don't live here, look at your own neighbourhood. Does God need to show up in your neighbourhood? So why are we not talking to him about our neighbourhoods? People are very quick to shout, oh my God, oh God this and oh God that, when trouble comes. And in most cases, it's not their God, it's my God. It's your God. And why do you think they do that? You don't hear them shouting, oh Buddha, oh Muhammad. You don't hear that, do you? Do you know why? Because dead people can't help. Only Jesus is alive. Only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are alive. Only they can help you. You say, well, I've got to concentrate when I'm in the car going to work, you know, in the morning and coming home at night. Really? When you've been driving a number of years, you do it on autopilot. The biggest problem that you have when you've been driving many years is actually concentrating on your driving, because you're concentrating on everything else. That mobile phone again. Why not slap a CD in? Andrew tells you sometimes he'll put people on his CD reading the Bible. You can do that too. If you don't want to listen to that, you can listen to godly tapes. If you want to listen to music, there's plenty of decent Christian music. There's plenty of rubbish as well, but there's some good stuff out there if you identify what your own taste. And tastes in music differ. Not everybody likes the same thing. And that is fine. The most important thing is that the Word of God is getting into your heart and into your mind. There's enough detritus in the world without having wasted time not filling your mind with the things of God. And empty time that you could be using for God's purposes is wasted if you don't put God first and try and do things like that. So we go about our daily tasks, and then suddenly we find that we're having problems. And so we do what we always do, don't we? I have a problem. I will sort it out, because I know how to do this. I am smart. Really? If you were so smart, you wouldn't have a problem in the first place. A lot of problems we bring on ourselves because we ignore God. We don't let God in. We just carry on doing what we want to do. We make our problems worse because we don't invite God in. So now we've had a full day. We've got up, we've gone to work, and now we've come home. Whew, what's the dinner, love? I've had a busy day. How was your day? Oh, man, was busy too. I'm so tired. Let's have lunch. So they have their evening meal. Bless this food, amen. So, have you heard about this? Did you see that on the news? Did you find out about what so-and-so did? And have you seen neighbour across the road? Have you seen their new extension? Where did they get all that money from? None of your business. You're missing an opportunity here. Now's a good time to praise God for the things that he's done for you during the day. You say, well, if we're going to do that, all we're ever going to do is talk to God, talk about God. And your point is, one of the things that we need to remember is that, as I said, I believe at the beginning, is that what has your attention has you. There's nothing like a serious problem arising to get you focused on this. What does this say about that? Oh Lord, there's nothing mentioned about that particular thing. Doesn't mention Russia in here, Lord. Actually it does. But how am I going to find out? Oh Lord. You need to get your mind renewed. And you get your mind renewed by washing it. Well, how can I wash my mind? I can't take my skin off and get sponge out. And I can wash my hair, but how am I supposed to wash inside? You wash your mind by getting in the Word of God. So now we've had our evening meal. We've washed the pots. We might have even washed them together, miracle of miracles. Some people will help by putting stuff in the dishwasher. Seven o'clock, what shall we do now? I've had a busy day, so what do? We get our big backsides and we slap them on the settee and we watch the television, or we go and get on our TV, on our chair, and we get on our computer, or we get out our mobile phones so that we can communicate with people that we've been with all day long. How stupid is that? You've been with them all day and now you're texting them. Duh. Does the phrase "get a life" ring true? You might need to text them. Occasionally when I was teaching, I needed to send a message about something I needed for the next day. But it was a message and it lasted about a sentence and a half if they were lucky. And if I didn't get an answer back within half an hour saying yes, there used to be a big problem, because that's when I used to ring up on the phone saying, you've ignored me text, what's the matter? Because this individual used to be one of those, phone was in the breast pocket, it was always turned on. So unless the battery was flat, they were ignoring you. If we say now we've been awake for 10 hours, let's talk about tithing, because this is an easy sum. A tenth of 10 hours is an hour. Can you truthfully say out of your day you've given God an hour? And that doesn't mean an hour sat down. Have you communicated with God for at least an hour? Talk to God frequently during my day. There's only me at my house. So if I don't talk to God, I have to talk to myself. I find talking to yourself, you get good answers. Talking to yourself means you always get to hear what you want to hear. Talking to God, sometimes you don't get to hear what you want to hear. Sometimes he says things you don't want to hear. But don't stop talking to God. Keep putting him first. We're always with him. As I said earlier, he's always there. But do we acknowledge him? Do we seek his face? Or is it only when we get to church? At one time, at a previous church I went to many years ago, I'd probably be about 12 or 13. And there were some of my friends, and we'd all been up to no good during the week, because we weren't Christians, we just had to go to church. You go to church. I don't want to go to church. I don't remember asking you what you wanted to do. You're getting to church. So we all used to go to church like good children. Like we all, as obedient children, we all used to go to church. But did it make any difference? When we got to church, it didn't make any difference. Because we didn't recognise God. We weren't interested. To a large extent, that was because of teaching at the time. We didn't even know we needed to be saved. All we knew was we went to church and it was boring. And after an hour, you got a penny arra, which used to be a stick of toffee for you young people. And we'd go home, having done our religious duty. But was it life-changing? Nope. Did it benefit us? Nope. It pleased our parents. Did it please God? Well, he was probably glad we showed up at his house. But that was about all. We need to spend quality time with God. It's not just a case of turning up. And as I started to say, when we went to church, a few of my friends... Oh, they were so holy and so spiritual when they were in church. They would sing so sweetly. And they looked like little angels. And they were, but they weren't God's angels. See, sometimes you come to church and you can put on a face, you can put on an image, and... portray that you are right with God, that you're walking with God, that you don't have a care in the world. And that is not the truth. But there is a truth. His name is Jesus. And that truth will set you free. Putting God first. Is God first in your life? In the nooks of our story that we started today, it's now time for us to go to bed. How much time have you devoted to God? We wonder why God isn't active on our behalf in various situations. It's not difficult to work out, is it? James chapter 4. Starting at verse 3. James chapter 4. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here we go. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So when we ask for things and we don't get them, the answer is here, isn't it? First of all, you don't get things because you don't ask. And when you've asked, you don't get them because you've asked amiss. If you're asking amiss, it means you're asking in a wrong way or you're asking for the wrong things. In here it says so that you can consume them on your own lusts. When we talk about lust, a lot of time people automatically think that we're talking about sex, but it's not. What about those trainers that you want, that you really, really want? What about that Ferrari that you'd die for? You probably would as well. What about all these special things that you want, that you really want? Lust. To an alcoholic, lust is drink. To a drug addict, it's your next fix. And the overeaters and the greedy are not excluded here. It's food. Ooh, look at that cream cake. I could just eat that. Well, there's nothing wrong with just eating that. It's nice to have a nice cream cake, for those of you that like cream cakes. Personally, I'm not very bothered. It's nice to have something nice. But have it in moderation. You don't have to have six. You don't have to buy a box. Went to America with a friend quite a number of years ago, and they had donuts on special offer, you know, the small donuts. There were 50 in a box, and she bought two boxes. That was 100 donuts she bought. I think I had three that afternoon. The next day, round about tea time, I said to her, "Hey, I could just fancy another of them chocolate donuts. Have you got one? Have you got a chocolate one left?" She goes, "I've eaten them all." What? The truth was, she'd eaten them all. Is that greed? And she was a big girl. And I'm not talking about Kim. Think about it. She was overweight. She couldn't do anything about her weight. But 100 donuts, dear Lord. I think altogether I had those three. Because as I say, the next night when I fancied one, and I only fancied one because I knew she'd got some, or I thought. I weren't that desperate. Because as I say, I don't have a sweet tooth. She'd have bought 100 bags of crisps, that might have been different. But the thing is, you have to learn. Overeating is not good for you. For those of you that don't know, over the last 4 or 5 years, I have lost 5 stone. And it's taken 4 or 5 years, and I'm still overweight. And it's a work in progress. But you know what? It's going to be defeated. Now, my downfall weren't chocolate, cheese. And so now I don't very often buy cheese, because a slab, especially a big slab, because I could buy a big one. It's cheaper to buy a big slab, cut it in bits and put it in the freezer. But the only problem with that is that when you've eaten one piece, you've got something in the freezer, so you just take it out, don't you? If you only buy a small portion and there's none in the freezer, there's less risk of succumbing to the temptation. Just like any other thing. Drink, drug, smoking, overeating, workaholics. I did have another one. Oh, the fashion conscious that's got to have the latest fashions. All these things that occupy us are things that we lust after. Lust's also exercised by a shopaholic. Ooh, let's go shopping. Why? What do you need? Nothing. Let's just go shopping. Why? I hate shopping. I shop for food. I shop for John will tell you. I do bargain shopping. Go late at night when it's dirt cheap. But it's only any good doing that if you've got room in the freezer. Otherwise you've got a lot of food to eat. And don't buy stuff you don't want. Just because it's cheap doesn't mean that it's healthy, and it doesn't mean it's good. Sometimes it's cheap because it's rubbish. Nobody wanted it, bear that in mind. If they'd have wanted it, they'd have sold it. There's a reason why it's still on the shelf. It's either rubbish or they bought too much. So we're putting God first. We hear many times that we're to be separate from the world. And yet there's certain things in the world that we all need. Food, clothes, cars, houses. And we've heard it many times said, isn't it, that we live in the world, but we're not of it. When we became born again, we got filled with the Spirit, and we live for God. Are you distressed or unhappy? There's a cure for that too. Psalm 16 and verse 11 tells us that in his presence is fullness of joy. Now, if God's everywhere, which he is, and you're in his presence all the time, which you are, it says that there's fullness of joy. So where is it? Oh, well, I'm happy on the inside. Tell your face. Do you need peace in your life? God promised Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 14, telling him that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God's presence goes with you and he gives you rest. This morning, about 3 o'clock, I wasn't feeling very restful. I live in a bungalow, so the windows were all closed to keep the natives out. Oh, and I was so hot. But when I'm so hot, I can't sleep, so I flung the windows open. And it took it about 2 hours to cool down. And at 5 o'clock, I went back to sleep again. But sometimes there are things that trouble us that we can't do anything about. Sometimes we go to bed and we've got things on our mind. How am I going to sort this out? How's that going to happen? No peace. No rest. When the devil or his little demons, because the devil's not that good that he can be everywhere, he has to send his little minions out. Only God's everywhere. But God will give you rest. Devils come to steal, to kill and to destroy, not to give you rest. The devil comes and his little demons to wind you up, to frustrate you, to give you tense. If something comes to you and it's not bringing peace, it's not God. God doesn't bring turmoil. He always puts us first. Jesus gave up everything so that we can be whole. The question is, when are we going to put God first? When are we going to stop trying to do God's job and put him first and give him first attention? I have a problem. I will sort it out. Really? I am sick. I will go to the doctors. Why? Jesus is your healer. I need some money. I'll tell everybody I have a need. God knows you have a need. I went in the shop 2 or 3 days ago and I got 2 quid in my pocket. I only wanted some potatoes. 2 or 2 quid will be enough. So I got some potatoes and then I really fancied some strawberries. looked at this, I've only got £2. I haven't got enough of potatoes and strawberries. Until I found 50p on the floor. And then I've got enough. God knew I needed that 50p. And the thing is, when you're in a shop, unless you put the 50p in the charity box, if you hand it in, nobody's going to say, has anybody handed 50p in? I lost 50p, it might have been in your shop. Because we've all been brought up these days that if people find money, there's a tendency they'll put it in the pocket and that's the last you see of it. Growing up, if you found money, you'd take it to the police station and report that you'd found some money. Now you find money, you put it in your pocket. Values have changed, and not for the better. But our values should always be the best values. They should always be founded on what God would do. So stop trying to do God's job. Do the job that He's given you to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5, we get some really good guidance. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are you having ungodly thoughts? Tell your thought to go and talk to Jesus. I can't tell Jesus that. Well, stop thinking it then. How do you cast down thoughts that you don't want to happen? First of all, don't dwell on them. If it's a thought that won't go away, read a book, pray, sing a song, do something. Don't sit there dwelling on this wrong thought. Dwelling on a wrong thought will eventually lead to a wrong action. Get rid of the wrong thinking. We're casting down imaginations. Casting them down. You have to cast them down because they're up in the head. They need to be under your feet. Anything that raises itself above Jesus needs casting down. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, we're told to come out from amongst them and be separate. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We don't disassociate with the world, but we don't have to let the world affect us. We need to affect the world. Or should I say, we need to infect the world. A lot of time this week, and the last couple of weeks, a lot of people have spent a lot of time on that settee, watching the football. Well, there's nothing wrong with watching football. No, there isn't. But there's something terribly wrong if you sat down 6 hours a day watching football. You can record these matches and watch them in a few weeks' time, you know. They're not all England. A lot of these teams, a lot of these countries mean nothing to you. Yeah, it's funny when Argentina go out, ha ha ha, and you see Maradona in the stands crying, ha ha ha, justice. But it's just a game. To some people, this World Cup is so important, and England have gone so far, and won't it be fantastic when we win the World Cup? Hang on a minute. We've only ever been in the semi-finals twice before. But the only time we were in the final, we won it. And it's a good thing for the country. It's going to bring a better spirit in the nation. Success breeds success. But there's a darker side to this. These yobbos that's been in the pub all night drinking beer and whatever they've been drinking don't come out saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, we won, isn't that lovely?" A lot of them get aggressive and violent. There are two things that's happening in this World Cup. Some people's spirits are being lifted, but some people are being made miserable. Some wives and some husbands are getting battered by the partners because of drink, because of the World Cup. Set your mind on things above. There are more important things than football. Football is a game. The things of God is life. It's life or death. The things that you choose on a spiritual level are life and death to you. Just taking communion. You can take communion in an unworthy manner. You can take communion not discerning. That means not taking any notice of what Jesus has done. It's just a ritual. We just take the bread, we drink the wine. Done it. Tick it off my tick list. Communion this week. Aren't I wonderful? I've done communion. No, you're not wonderful. Communion has a meaning. A powerful meaning. Jesus suffered terribly. And it's by his stripes, those horrible, horrible whiplash stripes that tore the skin off his back. Because of those stripes, I am healed. Because of that blood that was shed by the nails in his hands and his feet, by the crown of thorns, by him being pierced in the side with a sword. Because of that blood, God does not look upon my sin. He can't see it because it's under the blood. We hear that when you get to heaven and you're going to be judged and all your life's going to pass before you and everybody's going to then know all the sins that you've committed. I don't believe a word of it. God has forgiven the sins and blotted them out of his book forever. Where's he going to get the information from? It says God cannot look upon sin. So how is he going to look upon it to say you've done it? All God looks for is the blood of his son. And as long as your life is covered by that blood and you have repented sincerely, not just one of these born again things, put your hand if you want to give Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Done it. Another one ticked off. Saved. Taken communion. Boy, am I not a great Christian? Yeah, that's right, you are not a great Christian. A Christian is somebody that spends time with God, gets to know him, puts him first. A lot of us need to get over what we want and put God first, and then you'll find what you really want. God provides everything that we need. And if we truly love him, we'll spend time with him, doing what he wants us to do. We talk to him on and off continually all the time. It's easy for me, as I said, because living alone means I don't have to interact with anybody else unless I go out, which I do most days, but it's a choice I make. But remember, it's important to listen to him, and his plan for your life is the best plan, and you'll feel the benefit of that too. Do you know what you want to do as a career when you grow up? Ask God. What job would you think, Lord, that I could do? I enjoy this, I enjoy that, I enjoy doing this, I enjoy going these sort of places. I want to work inside, I want to work outside. I want to work at a desk, I want to work outside. What do you really, really do you want to do? God will grant that, and I can prove it to you very simply. When I was a kid growing up, all I ever wanted to do was be a teacher. I could teach my dolls for hours. My dolls were the best educated dolls in the world, except for the teddy bear. The teddy bear was stupid. I used to have to knock him about a bit. He couldn't do fractions to save his life. All the other dolls got them right, but that teddy bear, thick as pudding. Because Helen wanted to be a teacher. But having got thrown out of school at 14 years old, that then became a problem. So I had a different career path. But I wanted to be a teacher. Years went by. Ironically, 14 years went by. And I met a couple called Andrew and Grace. I don't know if you know them. And the upshot of that was, instead of the planned suicide that I had intended for one evening, I ended up becoming a Christian. Oh, weird. Doesn't God work in mysterious ways? Very mysterious as well. The man that I really, really couldn't stand, God sent to help me. Because God works in mysterious ways. God used Andrew and Grace a lot over the years to bless me and benefit me in the ways that I should go. But one of the biggest things that resulted in me becoming a Christian, not being a Christian very long, and God saying to me, you need to go to university. Yeah, right, of course I do. No qualifications, God. They won't accept me. You need to go to university. God, are you listening? You need qualifications to go to university. I thought, I'll shut him up. So, I went to Citizens Advice and said to him, there's no chance of me getting in university, is there, without any qualifications? Oh, well, actually, she says, there's an access course. She says, were you one of those that failed your exams? I goes, I never took them. I left at 14. I forgot to mention that I got chucked out. They don't need all that information. I said, I left school at 14. You did your GCSEs, or GCEs as they were then, at 16. And by then, I weren't in school, so I didn't do them. I says, but at night school, I've done a maths O-level since. And I've got loads of secretarial qualifications that I got when I was at Newton Chambers. She says, oh, well, it seems that you're smart. She says, go up to Rotherham College and tell them that you're interested in an access course. And she says, the access course is a 1 or 2 year course. And if you pass it in that year or 2 years, universities, not Oxford and Cambridge because they're snobby, but most of the other universities will accept a student because all it does is prove that you're capable of working at that standard. But you'll need to get at least a C, and you've got to do it in that 2 year period. So I went to the college and enrolled on this access course, and I passed it in 12 months. Got accepted at Sheffield University, Sheffield Hallam as it is now. He said, well, why are you telling me all this? Well, if you remember, I told you I wanted to be a teacher, and as a result of going to university, I became a teacher. God knows what the desires of your heart are. What are the desires in your heart that have never been fulfilled? What do you want to do? What has God got planned for you? He's got things planned for you that he can't fulfil because you're too busy doing other stuff. What is important in your life? What is more important than God? Anything? The answer should be, nothing is more important than God. Finally, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Not over and above, not exceptional, reasonable. Miss, I've done my homework. Is it good? It's reasonable. I can see you've put an effort in. It's not good, though. Because if it was good, it would have meant that you got it right. And you got it wrong. And in some cases, incomplete. But it was a reasonable effort. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is a reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So putting God first then is all about sorting out our priorities. Instead of letting daily problems, tough challenges, a busy schedule, sorting out our daily life, make God your number one priority. Rather than praying as a last resort, pray first. Share your thoughts and your feelings with God all through the day if you want. And thank Him by faith that He's met your need. Oh, well, I've not seen it met yet. Shut up, He's met it. Sometimes you don't get because you open your big mouth before it arrives at the door. Dedicate some time each day to spend time in God's Word. It's important that we do read the Word. It's important that we feast on it. And we don't just read a few verses and shut it and say, Amen, read it. Meditate on it. That means chew it over. When you've got a meal in front of you, wife's cooked you a nice big plate of steak and chips, and you think, woo, lovely. Mushy peas or some nice fried onions, and your mouth starts watering, and you think, whoa, I'm going to enjoy this. If you cut a little bit of steak off, chewed that, and then said, thank you, love, that were nice, and went off, you'd be thinking, finish the meal. The same applies to this. Get a proper meal of the Word of God. No wonder sometimes that our spirits are not firing very well. They're not firing very well for a very good reason. They're hungry. So don't be conformed to the things of this world. Get yourself sorted out by spending time in the Word of God. Get yourself a daily time of prayer. As well as praying all the time during the day, find yourself some time in that busy day of yours where you can spend some time with God, listening to Him speak to you and talking to Him. When God becomes your first priority, everything else in your life is going to thrive. If you take away a foundation, things don't turn out so well, do they? Everything needs a foundation. Your life needs a foundation. This is your foundation. If you don't spend time in here, you're not building a firm foundation. And guess what? The wind will go. The storms will blow. And your little house that's built on the sand will get blown away. To make it very unscriptural, it's like the three little pigs. The wolf will come to the straw house, and the one made of wood, and he'll huff and he'll puff, and the devil will blow your house down. But the house that is made of brick or rock, it can blow as much as he likes, because you're on a firm foundation. And although you might find yourself in a tricky and a rocky situation, God is in control. God's the foundation, the central piece that keeps us from crashing, keeps us from failing in life. When you seek Him first, you get joy in your life. When God's number one, peace is reigning. When you build your life around the Word of God, His plan for your life is realized. And when you pursue God rather than things, He provides everything that you need. Everything is built on God's central place in your life. So just three words. Put God first. You're not big enough to cope on your own. Put God first.